Sound On, Power On, your power electronics podcast, powered by PCIM Europe.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 11th episode of Sound On, Power On, your power electronics podcast powered by PCIM Europe. My name is Marco Jung. I'm a professor for e-mobility and electrical infrastructure at the Bonn-Rhein-Sieg University of Applied Science at St. Augustine, as well as head of department converter and electrical drives at the Fraunhofer Institute for Energy Economics and Energy System Technology at Kassel. Both are located in Germany. Additionally, I'm the chairman of the IEEE joint IES-IALS PELS German chapter, IEEE PELS Region 8 Vice Chair Germany, and active member of several national and international communities and communities. And today, our technical theme is GaN semiconductor modules, challenges and future opportunities. And this I will discuss with Dominik Koch from the University of Stuttgart. Hello, Dominik. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for welcoming me. I'm fine. And thanks for asking. How are you?
Fine as well. So thank you. You are a group leader and scientist in the view of obtaining a PhD degree. I think that is a different way of looking at the things. Please tell us a little bit of your work life and how it is possible to combine your group leadership at the university and your academic goal.
Yeah, that's you can sum it up in two words. It's quite a crazy work life. Positively formulated, very diverse. So there are a lot of different responsibilities, especially in project acquisition and also in the, let's say, the technical area in supporting the different projects. And this brings some advantages. So I see topics or I experience topics beside my actual PhD topic. So, for example, we have projects which uses AI in, for example, failure analysis or control and lifetime and reliability testing, which were not original topics in my, let's say, PhD thesis or in my PhD work. And therefore, this is a very nice combination, in my opinion. But it requires, of course, a lot of good time management. Because a PhD is already more than a full-time job, and then the group leader part is also quite challenging regarding the time. But it works with, like I said, a good time management and also in the collaboration with my colleagues, so the other PhDs, and together with the professor and the administrative project management, this is the only way it's possible.
Well, that sounds really good, and I think so, really hard stuff in this case. So, can you tell us your theme of your PhD thesis?
Yeah, so I'm currently in the writing process and it will head in the direction of intelligent GaN power modules. So I did the research there in low voltage, high current GaN modules and how to integrate sensors, how to integrate a good way of parallelization of GaN transistors to reach higher output currents. And this intelligent branding is always a very wide definition. But in our case, it means that we want to bring a sensor outputs to a system level so that, for example, a system level designer can use the temperature or current information from inside the module in a control or over temperature protection. This is somehow the goal of my PhD work.
Well, that sounds really nice and fits really good to our episode right now. In different episodes of Sound On, Power On, we discussed several topics related to power electronics and future trends. Especially, we addressed in one episode wideband gap semiconductor at application level. And now we see at the market arrived silicon carbide-based semiconductors, for example, in PV inverters. And in the community, everybody speaks from the alternative, GaN semiconductors. And this is what we want to address today in our technical theme. So let's have a look into the future and let's assume that gallium nitride semiconductor modules available on the market. What are the technology advantages compared to the silicon carbide and what are the disadvantages? Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Sure. I mean, it's quite clear and also shown in many presentations, but I think the main advantages of gallium nitride in comparison to silicon carbide is that you have lower switching and conduction losses if you compare it to the same, let's say, die area. So the well-known figure of merits in hard and soft switching and all different other figure of merits are better, and therefore you can get potentially a higher efficiency. And this better figure of merits also results in a potential higher switching frequency. And there you just have to take a look on what is already available on the market. All this mobile and laptop chargers, which are significantly smaller than the silicon counterparts. And the size reduction also comes from the smaller footprint of the GaN dies. So if you take a look on a GaN semiconductor with the same RDS on rating as a silicon or silicon carbide transistor, then it's significantly smaller. There's no free lunch. So in my opinion, the main disadvantages are that, again, with the smaller footprint, you have a higher thermal challenge. So it's very difficult or not that easy to get the heat, the loss power out of the transistor. And therefore, the thermal design is much more crucial than in the past with big transistors. And especially, I think, for drive applications, the avalanche reliability is one thing. So since we have a lateral, typically unipolar device with gallium nitride, the avalanche is not that good as with SiC. And also in the past, with discrete devices, the gate voltage robustness and therefore the gate handling is a thing where the designer have to take a look into, which is not that easy as with silicon or SiC, which have a high voltage margin at the gate. And I think at the moment, or up to now, the voltage rating is limited in comparison to SiC. Again, since it's a lateral device, in most cases, you don't have the possibility to scale the breakdown voltage to any extent you want. And these are the disadvantages, in my opinion, which are currently tried to be solved also in research.
Mm-hmm. I think so. That is the point why GaN models are not available at the market nowadays, or better, in the mass production right now. Yeah, though we must solve a lot of problems. And what are the challenges in making it possible to design large power converters? Do we need new packaging, new module concept?
Yeah, so I think on module level, you always have to have a trade-off between the thermal and electrical performance. So if you think of the classical modules for silicon carbide, they typically have some kind of DBC or ceramic base plate. And there you have a very good thermal performance with very low thermal impedances and resistances. But if you take a look on the parasitics of the module, this will hindering your design with gallium nitride. And this is something you really need for GaN to bring this full intrinsic performance of the gallium nitride switch to the system level. You need, on the one hand, a very low inductive package design, but also, like I mentioned before, with this thermal challenges because of the small die area, you need a very good thermally optimized design. And this is, I think, the main challenge at the moment, because the embedding packages and all the stuff which were shown in the past on the market, they are very good in terms of the parasitic design, the electrical parasitic design, but they have a lack in the thermal design. And in research, there are ideas to bring this, let's say, both approaches together. So, for example, with more advanced embedding or so-called sandwich modules, where you try to cool from both sides and have electrical connections from both sides. But I think the main challenge there is that it's still very expensive than this classical approaches with molding or DBC. And there is a lot of research going on, and also some companies presented in the past months but also years some, let's say, first demonstrators with this classical approaches. But like I said, there is no free lunch, so we will always have to do a trade-off between the thermal performance and the electrical performance. And I think this is at the moment one thing where it still needs to do some research, and also some application in the markets are necessary to really design such a module in the end. Mm-hmm.
Sounds interesting. And I think so we will see in the next years some new solutions on the market from industry as well, from the universities in this direction. And let's go a little bit deeper to the chip level. And as I know, actual blocking voltage of devices are 650 volts, more or less. And we have a project at my university and at Fraunhofer IEEE, and combined with several partners, and we are developing a PV inverter with a power higher than 100 kilovolt amps. And our solution for this three-phase grid-connected inverter is to using the power electronics topology to solve these problems. But do you see higher blocking voltage in the near future? And what are the challenges in this direction?
Yes, definitely. So there is a lot of research going on in this direction. I think, in my opinion, the main direction there is to go to a vertical GaN. So as I said before, the current transistors you get in the market are just lateral devices. So you have the source, drain, and gate contacts all on the top side of the substrate, and typically a silicon substrate. And there is a lot of research going on into the direction to make it like the classical SiC or silicon devices with a vertical power flow, so that you have the source and gate connection on the top side and the drain connection on the bottom side. So I think there the voltage scaling can be done by adjusting the drift layer thickness, and therefore this is, in my opinion, will be one of the breakthroughs to go to higher voltages for gallium nitride. We are also looking together with colleagues from Fraunhofer IAF in Freiburg and Bosch and Ambibox in the frame of a project into lateral 1.2 kV GaN transistors. And there, one issue is the substrate leakage current, and therefore also the breakthrough. And there we try to improve this behavior with different kind of substrates. So in terms of the substrate technology, there's also a lot of research which can also maybe enable in the future lateral devices with a higher current rating. I think all this development in terms of vertical devices is mainly later in also the high power region. So, for example, as you mentioned, this 100 kVA solar inverter, but also I think in traction inverters, there is a lot of interest there, because if you can, for example, implement it also in a silicon substrate, then the potential to reduce the prices for traction inverters, in my opinion, is very high, because you don't need the high temperatures as for silicon carbide. But there are challenges, and in my opinion, one of the also big challenges that you somehow lose the advantages of the hemmed structure. So, I mean, in a lateral hemmed, you have the two-dimensional electron gas on top of the transistor, and this is somehow will be lost if you go to a vertical concept. There are adoptions, but the performance might not be the same as with a lateral one. And another challenge, but this is also what I mentioned before, is currently under investigation, is that the substrates, at least at the moment, tend to be quite expensive, because you often use GaN-on-GaN substrates, which are very expensive in the fabrication, or different kind of substrates. And there, I think, is the current challenges to provide very major substrates and also cheap substrates to boost this development in this direction.
And hopefully we will find a solution in the next years, because I think so the cost reduction is a really hard stuff for the industry, and the semiconductor is one enabler then for maybe new applications, as you said, using gallium nitride. So, and I learned in the past that we will see in the future additional bidirectional blocking semiconductors. What can they enable?
Yeah, I think they can enable a lot of new or improved topologies, like the current source inverter, or there were some publications where they showed direct AC-AC matrix converters, where you can really reduce the chip count or enable topologies which are not feasible with discrete bidirectional transistors. So, I mean, you can create this bidirectional blocking capability with any kind of transistor if you connect them anti-serial, but if you want to have the same RDS on again, you would need another two additional devices in parallel, and this is of course very costly, and nobody is doing it. So the topologies, in my opinion, some of them are already there, but they are not as effective as with monolithic integrated bidirectional blocking transistors. And I think what they can really enable is, and this is not only my opinion, we still have a very high energy consumption in the motor drive applications worldwide. So in all kind of escalators, ACs and so on, there are very inefficient motor drives in there. And this consumes around 50% of the worldwide electricity. And I think if we are able to have the very cheap and also cost-effective and efficient, for example, current source inverters in this medium to low power regime, I think you can there enable a very good energy savings in terms of the motor drives.
Mm-hmm. And in this direction, I will speak a little bit more with you, because every technology will certainly have its place in the future. Where do you see the future areas of applications for EVE technology? Yeah, you mentioned something before, but for 650 volts, for 1,200 volts and for the bidirectional devices.
Yeah, I think they can cover a very, very broad range of applications. So, I mean, this is not only my opinion. If you take a look on the reports of the semiconductor companies or the market research institutes, there are a lot of different applications. I will extend this list to also the low voltage transistors because I'm somehow coming from the low voltage GaN area. And I think there the main applications will be in the 48 volt battery systems in cars, all kind of auxiliary DC converters there to 12 volt, for example, and also in the audio and LiDAR area, there were a lot of applications, and GaN is already also used there in a lot of use cases. On the 650 volts side, I see the main applications in the consumer market. I mean, they are already there with the laptop chargers and so on, and all kind of mobile and data center applications. So that, I mean, it's well known that we have an increase in all this artificial intelligence in the past, and they consume a lot of computational power and therefore a lot of energy and different kind of server centers and so on. And there, I think gallium nitride together also with the other semiconductors, I mean, there will always be silicon and there will always be silicon carbide. But together with the other counterparts, the GaN can really be a boost there. And in my opinion, also for smaller solar inverters, I think that the use of GaN is still feasible. Maybe not for the high power ones, as you mentioned, but in the small, some kilowatt range, it makes sense. If you take a look on from the research science or from the pre-development side from companies, I think that also in the onboard charger area, there will be a use case for gallium nitride, mainly in the 400 volt batteries, and maybe also in small traction inverters below, let's say 50 kilowatts for small vehicles, scooters or similar, which also use a battery voltage below 400 volt. There will be use cases for gallium nitride because there it's much cheaper than SiC and much better performing than, for example, in silicon IGBT. For the 1200 volt devices, I see applications also in the onboard charger, again, for 800 volt batteries. Solar will be a thing, and also industrial motor drive. But there you maybe also have to differentiate between vertical and lateral GaN. So lateral GaN, in my opinion, will always be for a lower power level. And as soon as we may have vertical GaN transistors, there might also be a scaling to higher power levels, in my opinion. The bidirectional transistors, as I already mentioned, in this current source inverters or in this direct AC to AC conversion. But there, if you take a look on what the manufacturers of the bidirectional transistors are saying, it's currently some kind of a chicken egg problem. So they have the transistors, the use cases are there, but no OEM is currently willing to start a design there, or let's say to produce it or sell it in mass production, because there are still some maybe challenges to solve. But someone maybe has to start first, and this will also be used on these applications.
Let's change our view of the things and let's have a look at the characterization of the GaN devices and the modeling of the semiconductors. What needs to be taken into account? Please share your experience with us, because it's, I think, so really important for modeling, simulations and so on.
Yeah, this fits quite well to our work, what we are doing. So, I mean, you need very good models in all this kind of virtual prototyping and digital twin processes, design processes, which are discussed frequently, because, I mean, you can reduce the number of cycles of a real hardware prototype if you have a good model. But a good model needs good measurement data, because if you have bad measurement data, your model can't be good, or it's modeling not the transistor, but anything else. And in my opinion, what definitely has to be considered, that you question or somehow double check the results of your model, because often models you get from manufacturers, they don't include, for example, a breakdown or similar, or the temperature is not modeled very well, and therefore this is always a trade-off between the physical fidelity of a model and the robustness, simulation time or convergence of a model, because you cannot have everything in one model. And there, in my opinion, the designer or also the characterization or modeling engineer always has to t- do the trade-off between these parameters and has to ask himself, okay, for what use case do I need this model? Do I want to make a system-level simulation, or do I want to characterize device properties, overshoots, or lost power in the transistor? And this is something which, in my opinion, gets more and more important with GAN, because you need a very good understanding and a very precise model to showcase this physical perform or the performance of gallium nitride. And I mean, the reason for this is maybe also well known, that devices can switch very fast, and therefore the board parasitics, the measurement equipment are playing a crucial role, and somehow are hindering to extract the intrinsic design of the transistor. And you need a very good bandwidth and linearity measurement equipment, and also the invasiveness, if you think of a current sensor, plays a crucial role. And this is something you really have to consider already in the characterization process to somehow check, okay, how am I affecting my transistor with my measurement circuit? And there we are also looking into new measurement techniques. So, for example, the last years, the calorimetric measurements came up, especially for the soft switching loss characterization. But we also try to extend them to hard switching evaluation, because there you don't need to use the measurement equipment like current sensors, and you can really have a very good design in terms of parasitics and thermal design. And this is, in my opinion, something which also have to change in the future. And also stuff like the normalization, standardization is playing a crucial role, because the old norms from silicon, they are not feasible anymore to apply for at gallium nitride, because the limits doesn't make sense, and the switching is much faster. So there will be a change in all this characterization domain, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's true. That's my experience as well. But maybe, or I think it will be a combination, because with the calorimetric system, it's only possible to, let's say, assume or measure the whole power losses. And then you need a really good models to extract what are the switching or the dynamic losses and the static losses. And so I think so it will be a combination of double pulse test as well as calorimetric. What do you think about this idea?
Yeah, totally agree. So again, I mean, this is something you have to take into account if you do a measurement. Okay, what do I want to extract from the measurement? And in my opinion, so we are still doing double pulse measurement because they are easy. If you do them well, if you know your measurement equipment, you can still get very precise results. But again, you always have to take this into account. And as you said, I think it will be a combination of both. So you will have the hard switching double pulse measurement as, let's say, the basis, and depending if you want to have a hard switching topology, you might not even need the calorimetric measurements for the soft switching evaluation. If you're saying, okay, I will just have a soft switch converter, then you may skip the double pulse measurement, because you just need the calorimetric or the soft switching energy anyhow. So both methods will stay in the future, and I think the future will show how to adapt them, or maybe combine them also in a nice manner, so that you have both in one setup, for example.
Great, Dominik. In the last minutes, we discussed the future of power electronics, but for me, and I think so for the audience, is really interesting, what is about your future?
Yeah, so the short-term goal is somehow to finish my PhD, to finish my dissertation, because I mean, it's now I'm working on it for 5 years now, and now I should try to sum up everything. But with all this very interesting topics and all the projects we are doing, it's always you get distracted very easily, and somehow I have to try to focus on finishing my PhD, and I don't made any decision. Let's see what the future bring. I'm somehow open for everything, and I think we have a lot of interesting topics also in the future around SiC and GaN power electronics and a lot of applications, in my opinion. And therefore, I'm very looking forward to the future and the role of power electronics and GaN and power electronics there.
Great. Thank you, Dominik.
Thank you.
To all the listeners, wherever you might be, thank you very much for listening. We hope you have enjoyed today's episode and gained some valuable insights. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, which is available on all major podcast platforms. If you would like to share your feedback with us, please do so via an email to pcim@mesago.com. You can write to us also if there is a specific topic you would like to be covered in the future or if you have a particular guest on your mind. Until then, have a great time.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of Sound On Power On, powered by PCIM Europe. Do subscribe and share.